Praise God. Good to see everybody this morning. Seemed like last week I came into the service and had nothing. And it seemed like this week, it was almost like Sunday afternoon a passage came to me. So who knows what the Lord has. So we just trust Him to help us. I'm just going to go ahead and read most of a chapter just as a setup. And it's a familiar one in 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm blessed, and I was going to say amazed. There's no reason to be amazed with the Lord. In this sense, the songs that we sang are just so in harmony with what I believe the Lord wants to say. And once again, I think, was it Matt the other night, said that we're, seems like we're saying the same things over and over again, and yet from a slightly different point of view, and it's kind of, the Lord's just kind of filling in the gaps. Some of you will remember when Brother Thomas returned to the church in the mid-70s and how he spent a year preaching basic truth, foundational truth. Sometimes I believe the Lord wants us to really continually focus on an area of truth until we get it in a deeper way, because we don't get it just hearing it once or twice. I don't, at least. So let me just read this. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. I'll stop right there. I read the first part because it's hard to disconnect the context that Peter writes. He goes from one thing into another, to another, to another, and there is a connection. But my focus was not on the elder's part, but still that's a real truth, isn't it? Because God calls us to be shepherds, not to be bosses, but to be elder brothers who watch and serve over the others. And then, of course, he says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. And I was going to make this snarky comment. We all know that the height of human knowledge and intellectual achievement comes when people are in their upper teens. Is that right? And if people are really smart, they spend the rest of their lives realizing and learning that they didn't know what they thought they did, and their elders were not as clueless as they thought. And that tends to really come home when they have kids that are just like them. But truthfully, you know, we need to recognize that we don't know it all, and part of serving the Lord is being willing to listen, being willing to learn, and humble ourselves. But it's interesting that he says, after this comment to the younger ones, he says, all of you. So now he's addressing not just, you know, he's addressing the elders too. He's addressing everybody. And there is a characteristic of our relationship one with another that God is looking for. And it's not strife, it's not pride, it is humility. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and but shows favor to the humble. And what we've read up to this point, the passage up to this point kind of sets up where I was intending to really focus this morning. Nothing new, but I hope the Lord will connect some dots. And I thought of one possible title would be, You, God, and the Devil. Because if you look at the next three paragraphs, the way it is in the NIV, basically those are the characters that are involved. And there is a way, there is a relationship that how God seeks us to function as Christians and how it really works. Because if you were just to isolate the passage on the devil and disconnect it from what goes before, you would miss something very critical. But yet, if you were to disconnect that from the passage that follows, you would also be leaving out stuff that's really seriously important. So the foundation of what Peter is seeking to lead his believers, his readers, to understand about serving God and living in this world is really focused upon what is our place, what is our responsibility in this equation where you have the three characters, if you will. And basically, verses 6 and 7 lay it out. He says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. There's a lot in that, and I don't want to take the time to unpack it all, but I'll bet you the natural reaction to anybody hearing something like that and knowing what it's like in the world would be to say, that sounds pretty negative. Does anybody get that, the sense of humbling yourselves under somebody's mighty hand? In this world, that's not a good thing. That means somebody is imposing their will upon others for selfish purposes, and the person who is under that loses their freedom. They're not able to do what they want. They're servants to somebody else's agenda, and it's not about them. It's not about their interests. It's about the interests of the one who does this dominating, has his heavy hand upon you. But I'll tell you, the sense that I believe God wants us to get from this is exactly the opposite. It was interesting to me when I thought about this passage. Why doesn't it just say, humble yourself under God's hand? There's a reason why that word mighty is in there. Frankly, I need somebody with a mighty hand because I am pretty powerless in this world. And if I'm going to go into this section where I'm going to have to deal with the devil and the reality of him, there's got to be some power somewhere that I don't possess. Now, isn't it interesting the parallels between this passage and many things that Paul wrote? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And he talks about our warfare not being against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. See, there's some real power at work in the world, and God has power, the devil has power. We're pretty weak. We're in a position of great weakness. I need something that I simply do not have. If I'm going to be able to move forward in this passage and enter into what God has planned for me, I need something. And you know, that humbling, there's a lot in that, but certainly it is the opposite, as he says right above that, it's the opposite of human pride, where we feel like, number one, I want to do what I want to do. That's human will and pride that says, I have my own ideas, I'd like to get God to help me, but I'm the one who's basically, I've got to chart my own course. But here is God seeking to bring us to a place of submission. And it's not one where he comes down with that mighty hand and forces something to happen, is it? He says, humble yourselves. God is not looking for people that he can just dominate and force into his mold and take away, steal all our joy and steal all of our freedom. He is looking to lift us out of a dark, weak place and bring us into a place that is amazing. And I thought many times about the scriptures in the Old Testament that talks about God bringing out his people with a strong arm and a mighty hand. Was that mighty arm and strong hand meant to intimidate them into submission? No, it was a strong arm against their enemies. Anything that would hinder, there's a strong arm that was for them, not against them. Not to force some kind of submission, but God is seeking a willing submission of our hearts and our lives. I'll tell you, there's no way to enjoy the relationship between that God desires until we come to that place willingly. And I understand it's a process of learning how to be humble in his sight. Think about the man who wrote this and what he went through while Jesus was being arrested and then crucified. There was a point in time when the Son of God, the one that he knew was the Son of God, warned him that he was going to deny him. He said, That sounds real humble to me, doesn't it? No, you got somebody who's pretty self-confident and very mistaken, and then Jesus warned him again, you better pray. Because, you know, temptation is coming, and I don't remember the exact words, but you know what I'm talking about. Pray, watch and pray so that you'll not enter into temptation. And Peter just kind of, yeah, I got this. Oh, God, do we need to get rid of that I got this. Because we don't got this. When it comes to this equation of us and God and the devil, we need him. And we need to come to that place of just completely surrendered and realizing that we don't have what it takes. That's the starting point for that relationship. Praise God. I want to come to that place. And I'm going to throw something out at you that might be disturbing, but I believe it's absolutely the truth. There's a reason why, if you step back into the previous paragraph, he says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. Now we're not just dealing with this private relationship or, okay, God, I'm humble. This has to be reflected in our relationships one with another. There is no such thing as being in a place where I'm good with God, things are great, but now that person, I just can't get along, I can't stand them. There's a conflict between me and them. I'm resentful, I'm holding this against them, we just don't get along, and I'm, you know, you get what I'm getting at. If you are upset with any other human being and it lodges in your spirit and you're just go on and you're upset, you're upset with God. It absolutely breaches the very foundation of what Peter is talking about. Man, God, I need grace. I need help because, well, think of what John said. If we don't love our brother whom we have seen, how can we love God whom we have not seen? I pray that God will help us to make this equation and to realize how interconnected this is. There's no way to have the relationship God seeks with him and not be right with one another, not do our part. Now, if somebody else has a wrong spirit, that doesn't mean you have to. You know, we've said this many times, no one has the power to make you mad. Being mad and embracing any kind of a negative spirit towards someone else, that's a choice you're making. To yield to human nature, to yield to the voice of the serpent. But oh, how many people there are that just vainly imagine they're just fine with God, but, you know, out here, it's a different story. I mean, the Pharisees are Exhibit A. They were confident of their relationship with God. I'm good with God, but I despise these people. I hate Jesus. He's threatening our position, but I'm good with God. No, there's no way. that can be. Folks, if we're going to have a, if we're going to really have a relationship with God, we need to see that played out in our relationships with one another. I know that those who serve the Lord a length of time, you know this. You know what I'm telling you is the truth. But boy, we need help, don't we? And part of it is humbling ourselves to the reality of this truth and saying, oh God, this is true and I need help. You know, again, that picture of the grandmother in that last Kendrick movie coming to a place where she realized she needed to forgive the father of her granddaughter. And just crying out, oh God, you're going to have to help me. That's a good place to be. And I'll tell you, when you talk about the mighty hand of God that's there, what's that about? Why does he have a mighty hand? Is it to crush us when we don't do right? I think a lot of us sort of think that. Man, if I mess up, ooh, that mighty hand's going to come down. No, this is a mighty hand not to suppress, not to beat. This is a mighty hand to lift up, to reach out with words of encouragement, with words of instruction. God help us to be willing listeners. Because again, this is not God saying, I'm going to humble you whether you want it or not. He says, you humble yourselves. God is looking for people who will respond to him and to his purposes. And what is his purpose in this statement? Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Why? See, where's God going with this? Is he just using us for his own selfish purposes? Or is it ultimately to bring us to a higher, better place? Now, how many of you think that higher, better place is a prideful lifting up? They did good for a while, now I'm going to really... No. Once God sets us free from pridefulness, from all the things that would cause us to react in the wrong way, I'll tell you, we can be lifted up to a better place. It's a place of freedom from all of that. Man, don't you want that peace that's on the inside? There's a peace that comes from that. Praise God. I'm sure it's always the case when I see something in the scriptures that I'm the one that needs it. But always the Lord tells me, reminds me that I'm not the only one. That God's people need this. We need to understand this dynamic of how we relate to God and where the devil fits into all of this and what's really going on. But God wants every one of you to willingly recognize that this is not a God who's a monster in the sky. This is not a God who's a tyrant who just wants to take away all your joy and crush your dreams and, you know, just use you for his selfish purposes. This is a God who sees your need, a need you may not even see properly. But he, with sacrificial love, has reached down and reached out to you. And his purpose in extending that might, that power, is to help you and to lift you up. Think about what Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1. He asked for knowledge and wisdom to be given to the folks. But one of the things he wanted them to know was the incomparably great power of God. And one very key phrase in there, it says, for you. Let that sink in. The power that God has demonstrated through what he did at the cross, what he did at that empty tomb, what he did to set his son on a throne, is exactly the power that is available to every single Christian today. It's for you. When it says his mighty hand, it's the mighty hand to give you strength, not to crush you, not to punish you when you don't measure up. This is a hand of love that's always going to be reaching out to give you what you don't have. Because if we don't get this, how are we going to go out and face the devil? Peter found out the hard way, it don't work if we do it in our own strength. But oh, what a blessed place God calls us to occupy. It's just a place of peace that comes from surrender. And built into humbling ourselves before Him is a sense of trust. You know, God calls upon us to believe in what He has done for us, to understand what the cross was about. It's a place where one died for us so that we could be reconciled, so that we could be, have a relationship with Him. Praise God. It's like my dad said to somebody very early in his ministry, who was still a young man, before I discovered America, I guess. But he said, you know, you can trust somebody who died for you. Praise God. I know every one of us is in need of learning this in a practical way. Certainly there's this place of really coming to the Lord and realizing what He's done for us, hearing His voice calling us out of our sins to give our lives to Him. That's an event. There is a passing from death to life. But then every single day He calls upon us to make that choice. Praise God. I need to make that choice right now. You need to make that choice right now. Lord, I need You, and I'm looking to You. Please help me right where I am. Praise God. Praise God. What a place to which He's called us. It's not a matter of here's a program, read my book, do what it says, and everything will be good. I need the person. He's real. He's alive. And He is intimately interested in me, and He calls for a spirit of trust and humility before Him, because His aim is to lift me up at the proper time. He knows what that is. Well, that introduces the second thing that He calls upon us to do. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Folks, by nature, we want to be in control. We want to know what's coming and be ready to handle it. But yet God has confined us in time. There's not one of us that can go backwards in time and fix stuff. We can bring it to the cross and be set free. That's why Paul said, forgetting what is behind and reaching forth for what is before. But here we are in a moment of time. I do not have power over the future. And God does not open my eyes to see everything that's going to come. Oh, wouldn't it be good to come to the place that David expressed when he said, all of my days are written in your book, or have been written in your book before one of them came to be. What an amazing God we serve, who knows the end from the beginning and who calls upon us to serve Him without the anxiety, the fear of what's coming. Every one of us, some more than others, but every one of us experiences this. And we live in a world with so much uncertainty and so many things that we would prefer not to happen because they're unpleasant. Oh God, what about this? What about that? How's this going to work out? The virus, you know, the 1,001 things. But God calls us to do something that is so contrary to human nature. To come to a place where we don't know what's coming, and it's okay. Because it's in the hands of somebody that cares for us. If we're not, are we really believing that He does care? Do you really believe He cares about you? That He knows all about you, that He's planned everything out, that there's nothing that can come that He's not completely ready for, and it doesn't fit into His purpose for us. You know, that word cast is exactly like it sounds. It's like you're holding this heavy burden, and it's not like you hand it to somebody. You say, ugh. You're pitching it to them. You're throwing it to them. But this is something that we need to be doing all the time, because the devil is going to constantly, our nature is going to agree with him, but the devil is going to constantly try to paint a picture of, oh God, what if this happens? What if that happens? I'm not ready. Oh God, we got to, you know, you understand, everyone here understands the process, understands how it feels. But I'll tell you, there's a God who wants to help us to be free from such such terrible fear. Like I say, not one of us can control the future anyway. You can plan every little thing, and it just, it doesn't, and then something totally unexpected happens. I was just trying to remember a short story that was rather humorous. I can't remember all the details, but it described in vivid detail some guy who was just, he was going to prepare for anything. And it described his place and how he did things and every little safety device and every possible thing. And of course, he dressed, to ward off all germs when he went out. And it described him stepping out the front door. And he said, at that very moment, there was a factory that manufactured stoves nearby, and it had an explosion. And a stove was launched into the air. And at the very moment he stepped out, that stove landed on him and killed him. And, of course, we laugh at it, but yet isn't it true? Wouldn't it be better to put our lives in the hands of somebody who really does know, and it's going to be okay because he's promised to be with us to the end of the age? Do we really functionally, not just theologically, but do we really practically believe, Lord, I know you care. I know there's nothing that's going to come that you're not going to be with me, that's not going to be part of your plan for my eternal future. Lord, I'm not even going to worry about this thing that just is eating me alive. Lord, you know, and I don't, and I can't control it. So here, you have it. That's something that takes practice and takes going to the Lord for help, doesn't it? But I'll tell you, isn't that what God is looking for? What's being described here is a total oneness with God and His purposes. And who better exemplifies that than our Lord, who said, my Father and I are one. He's not talking about one person, but there is a unity. I do His will, not mine. I seek His strength. I can't do anything on my own, all the things we've talked about so many times. But didn't He invite us who are weary? Anybody weary here this morning? Well, there's an invitation out there. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. And you'll find, and I'll give you rest. But then from a day-by-day practical standpoint, take my yoke. There's a walking together with Him. Learn from me. There's stuff you and I don't know. This is not natural. We're going to have to do some learning. This is something you don't know just because you're 17, 18 years old. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. That's all right. I was that age once. I know exactly how it feels. What was I saying? Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am what? Humble. Jesus, humble? This is the Son of God. I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I think there are many who could testify that there were times, obviously, when it was a very fearful place and you didn't know what was going to happen and it could be bad, and you know what that feeling is. But I know there are many here who have been in places where God allowed you to get to a place where the outcome could have been very serious. I experienced that very recently with this virus, where I reached a point where I don't know, maybe this is the Lord's time. And yet I don't think I have ever in my life experienced a greater peace. Now, I don't take any credit for that. I've mentioned this at least once before, but I take absolutely zero credit for that. But the Lord was bearing witness. No matter what we face, even if it's to die, even if it's pain, even if it's persecution or is it some other form of difficulty, He knows about it. He's with us. It's not something that we have to fear. We do not have to bring the worries about things that might happen in the future into the present and carry them like a burden. We have the right. He invites you. He tells you to cast it upon Him. This is not, you know, if you measure up, maybe I'll help you. This is God's instruction to every believer. You're going to worry about things in this life, but we don't have to. We have the privilege of carrying, of throwing them. Say, God, you take it. I can't handle this, but it's not my job to handle it. It's yours. My life is in your hands, as we sing. Is it really? You know, if it is, we don't have to carry that burden. Oh, may God help us to wake up to such simple truth that we're familiar with these things. But how many have really got this nailed? See, this is the first part. This is us and God. But if we get this right, and the more we learn to humble and cast with respect to Him, we're going to have what it takes to get into the next paragraph. I need that. Because if all I have to deal with is, be alert and of sober mind, your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, resist him. Okay? But if I haven't got that first part nailed, or I'm working on it, I'm learning that area, in that area, I'm going to have a problem with this. Because I'm not facing the devil in his strength. I'm facing him in my own. I'm trying to stand. I'm trying to do this, and it doesn't work, folks. The devil has got power, and he's got an ally in our flesh that agrees with him. And all he has to do is keep looking for those weak places. May God help us. And this is not written to unbelievers. This is written to believers, where the devil, if we will fall into the habit of yielding to him in certain areas of our lives, he will gain a hold. He will do damage to our spiritual lives. We will not be all that God wants us to be. There will be things that he wants for us, but we are making choices not to stand. Folks, every one of us, it is quiet. Every one of us needs this, don't we? How reminiscent of Ephesians 6 this is. He uses that word stand several times. Stand, stand, stand. But doesn't he begin it with his power? That's a good thing because I don't have it. But you know, when I am looking to him, I have it. But listen to what he says. Resist him standing firm in the faith. Now, if you would say that in many circles, standing firm in the faith means standing firm on the doctrines that my group professes. Standing firm in the faith. I know what the faith is. Then they'll recite the Apostles' Creed or whatever their particular statement is. And they can nail the theology of it. They can describe it. They can understand it. They've got it nailed. They've got it mastered in their minds. I'm firm in the faith. Is that what it's talking about? No, there's something a whole lot deeper than that. Yeah, we need the knowledge. It's good to know what is true. But folks, I don't need a faith in a creed. I need a faith in a person. I need a confidence. I need something that reaches out to him and says, Lord, I know in spite of what I feel, in spite of what I see, I know you've got this. I know you have allowed me to come into this place to work in my heart to help me. This is part of the deliverance. This is part of why I need to humble myself, put myself in your hands so you can change me. I've got to be willing to do that. But Lord, right now it doesn't look good. Right now it doesn't feel good. But that's no excuse to stop standing. Because there are going to be times, like we've said before, and many times in the past, when faith is all you got. But faith is enough. Faith is enough. That's what the Lord wants us to learn, to believe Him no matter what. And I'll tell you, that alone, just that dynamic of us having to face the devil and not feeling like there's any help, but believing in Him anyway because of our relationship to Him and what we know of Him, we believe Him anyway and we stand in that. Man, the devil has no answer for that. whether that comes out as quoting the devil, quoting the word rather, like Jesus did, or however it comes out, God can give us the strength to stand and say, I don't care what you say, devil, God is true. He is faithful. He is my God, and I'm trusting in him in this moment. Faith is an active trust in the living God that what he says is true. It's pretty obvious from scripture and experience that God has determined, he has planned, I guess is the better word, to gather a family out of a broken world, and obviously that family is going to need to stand against something. We're going to have to overcome something. There are going to be difficult choices where we're going to have to choose to follow God and choose to reject something else, reject the world and our own nature. He's not just simply calling us out of a passive little world where everything is sweet and lovely. He's calling us out of a broken world where we are at war with a relentless enemy who has real power. But folks, he has greater power. There is no power greater than God. And I'll tell you, those who align themselves with him, we have everything that we need to stand. So when he's talking about standing, resisting firm in the faith, he's not talking about just believing certain doctrines. He's talking about a confidence in the person, just like Abraham exhibited time and time again. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So anyway, these are not new truths, but do you see the connection, though, as you move through this dynamic of us relating to God, having a foundation built in our lives where we're confident, we're surrendered, we're looking to him, we learn how to not dwell on things we can't control from the future or the past, but just trust him in the moment, and now we're face to face with an enemy. We got something to stand on. We got someone to whom we can look. Praise God. Anybody here need that? Amen. Yeah. Every single one of us that's serving God needs what he's talking about here. All right? But not only that, Peter wants to encourage us because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. How many times have we said before, one of the devil's big tactics is that you're the only one, or God has somehow allowed you to be singled out because, and then if you fill in the blank about whatever that negative reason is. Folks, this is the pathway to the kingdom of God. Did not Paul go back to encourage new believers with the words, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. The way into the kingdom is going to be through opposition. We're going to have to be willing to fight, and in the fighting thereof, as we draw it and do it by his strength, we are changed. There's something that happens to us that actually makes us fit for what God's purpose is. This is not God somehow losing control and trying to vainly bring us through. This is absolutely God. Satan is God's servant. Doesn't like the idea, but he absolutely, the Lord knew all about this. He has purpose to bring his people through everything this world can throw at us. But folks, don't ever suppose when you're going through something that you're alone. In fact, I found it a good thing when I'm in a dark place or I'm in a difficult place and I feel the oppression of the enemy. It might not be some terrible thing, but when I feel all that, to realize, hey, I'm not alone. Lord, bless my brothers in North Korea. Fresh news from there that the famine, which is, I mean, food problems there have always been in the news, and now all of a sudden it's apparently worse. And I'll tell you, you're a Christian in North Korea, and they find out about it. You think you got it bad? Man, we need to be praying for people like that. But if we get our hearts and our minds more engaged in the needs of others, isn't that part of the picture? Isn't that part of what God is looking to produce in us, where we serve one another and it's not all about you? Oh, the devil loves to make it all about you, to paint a dark picture that's contrary to what God's word says. But we have what we need to stand up to him and say, devil, I don't have to listen to you. God, you go into what follows and you see again the foundation. It comes back to you and God. But right now, it's you and the devil. But oh, I'll tell you, if we get this, well, look at it this way. You got three paragraphs. The devil's one in the middle. That's a devil sandwich, and he's in a bad place. You know, you got a foundation up here, you got one down here, and he's caught in the middle, and all he can do is what his nature drives him to do, which is try to gratify his evil nature through your flesh. That's all he can do. He knows his time is short. You wonder why things are the way they are in the world. He's angry. He's afraid. He knows he's got to do what he's going to do while he can do it. But I know who sits on the throne. I know the one who's promised to take us all the way, and that's all I need to know. I don't have to worry about what might happen because he's got that. I don't need to worry about, can I handle it? Because, no, I can't. But when the time comes, there'll be grace that's available. He'll be with me in it. I'm not dependent on my own strength anyway, so why am I worried? It's easy to say, isn't it? But you know, it's true. May God help me and God help us. And so in the middle of this, the other end of this sandwich, in verse 10, and the God of all grace. Aren't you glad it uses the word all? It's not some. It's not a little bit. It's not I hope it's enough. This is all grace. Grace is that divine help without which I cannot serve God. It's God, this is God's mighty hand reaching down and saying, here's the strength you need in this circumstance. The God of all grace is there, but are we looking to him? You see why our part at the beginning of this is so important. Are we willing to take that humble place and saying, yes, Lord, I get that my life is not about me. It's not about what happens in this world. It doesn't revolve around me. It revolves around a purpose that goes way beyond this world. You're the only one that can get me there. And I humble myself into your hands because that's what my life is about. Folks, if that foundation is laid in a heart, we've got everything we need to stand in this hour, whatever hour, because God is a God of all grace. Who called you? See, now we're back to God and you. Who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Praise God. So while on the one hand, we're living in the world and he brings us through what he gives us what we need to get through the circumstance, and he makes us stronger and he has a place, a time when he's going to lift us up and make us something more. But oh, look at the final end. It's glory, folks. There's going to come a time when you and I will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. And we'll bow, if he gives us anything at all, we'll cast those crowns down at his feet and just worship him forever and ever. After 10,000 years, we still have no fewer years, do we? Just like we sang this morning. Oh, some of the songs, just wonderful selection of songs this morning. About what God has given us, what he's done for us. But he's called us to eternal glory in Christ. This is his purpose, again, from the foundation of the world. He knew your name. He called you. He wants you to be part of his kingdom. What is our place? To humble, to cast. Two things. They're big things, aren't they? But you think about how he begins that paragraph, the God of all grace. That means when it's tough for you to humble yourself, it's tough for you to cast, we have every right to look to him. He's not sitting there saying, what's the matter with you? Get with the program. I'm just going to go away and leave you for a while until you get it right, and then you come and we'll talk. This is, I know where you're at. I'm here to reach down with all of my strength, all of my might. Just put your trust in me and I will help you right where you're at and I'll give you the strength you need for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. What happens today is enough. You know, you've heard the story about the potatoes. And the lady, Brother Thomas used to tell this all the time, or at least a number of times. And it was the lady who was considering marrying a guy who loved potatoes and she hated to peel them. And her whole picture, oh my God, she just saw this mountain of potatoes in her future. And it was such a barrier to her. And somebody along, at some point said, sufficient unto the day are the potatoes thereof. There's so much wisdom, if we just lay hold of it, that is so contrary to our nature. Can we let go and let God have His way? We sang that this morning. What a perfect, fitting way to express all of this. But just trusting Him. He's promised His strength, His mighty hand. It's not against us. It's not to suppress us. It's for us, to lift us up, bring us to a better place. Do you need to be in a better place? I do. Who called you to His eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while. So that must be part of His purpose if He says that, unless the devil is just stronger. You think? No. This is part of what it takes for us to become what He wants us to be. Jesus went to a cross. That cross meant He was renouncing His life in this world. He was renouncing the world itself and the devil who rules in this world. He was willingly laying it all down, but He knew that when He did, His Father was going to bring Him forth with a brand new life that the devil could not touch. That is exactly what the Lord has called every one of us to take up our cross. It means laying down your life and turning your back on it, giving it to Him, giving Him your future, your plans, laying that every bit on the altar and saying, God, I want Your plan, not mine. I want Your life, not mine. Your purpose, not mine. Your will, not mine. Just grant to me the strength to be able to stand in that and put my trust in You when it doesn't feel good. Praise God. Because there will be times when we suffer. And again, that may be painful, but it could be anything where we're saying no to this old nature. It's crying out to have its way, and you're saying, uh-uh. Because that's not what God wants. That's not pleasing to Him. Oh, God, give me the strength. Because this has got to be power on power, folks. There's a power in sin. There is a power that the devil has. I need some power that's better than that. That's what God is offering in this. Praise God. You, God, and the devil. So what does he do in the process of this? He talks about the eternal future, but now he's talking about what happens here on earth in this dynamic as we look to Him, as we face off with the battles, as we stand upon the foundation He has laid, which is perfect. What's going on? After you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you? Now, who's doing this? He doesn't say, come on, restore yourself. This is humbling ourselves under His mighty hand, trusting in Him. He's going to be doing something that is eternal, that is supernatural. He's going to change me. He's going to restore me. He's going to make you strong. Anybody here feel strong this morning? I'm strong, but in Him. I'm weak in every other way. I'm weak in myself, but I'm strong in Him. Thank God. Make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Isn't it interesting? To Him be the power. You see that the concept of powers at the beginning, His mighty hand. Now He comes down here, to Him be the power. That's what I need in my life. Anybody here need that this morning? So you see what the devil's part in this. He is simply going to go around and try to gratify his evil nature by working on human beings and drawing upon their lusts, their earthly desires. He's going to try to feed on that to somehow satisfy his nature. That's the world we live in, but God has called us out of that world, given us a destiny you and I could never achieve on our own. He's given that to us, thank God. He's promised to take us there. What does he ask of us? In this passage, what is he asking of us? What is our part in this, you, God, and the devil? Humble and cast. See, that'd be a good title too, but I'll stick with the other one. Humble and cast. And this, like I say, is more than just that, what happens when we come to him and give our lives to him. It's got to start there. But this is every day. This is when we get up in the morning and have that conversation with the Lord. This is recognizing who I am and who he is and what my life is really about and what the world is about. You know, he talks about being alert and of sober mind, folks. That means thinking straight. That means seeing the world through God's eyes so we're not just caught up with the world. It's easy, so easy to go to sleep. So easy to get affected by what's going on in the world, what your friends think, what's going on, and going to sleep and not realizing what's really going on. I'm so glad we don't have to be afraid, but the Lord wants us to be alert. I don't care, the strongest saint is going to be attacked, is going to have to contend with the devil one way or another. But God's promise is that his hand is there, and it's mighty. It's mighty, and there is grace that is stronger. The same strength that brought Jesus out of, as we said, out of the tomb, gave him a life the devil couldn't touch, set him on a throne far above all the devil's power, and he did it for us. Jesus didn't need that. He was already in that place. But he came down here so we could join him. He could bring us to that same place. And he wants us to begin to experience that more and more in our day-to-day lives right here. And he's promised to be the one to do the work if we'll just humble ourselves in his hand and say, God, I'm yours. Do what you need to do in me. You know, it sounds scary in a way. If you're thinking about, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's he going to touch? But God wants us to see his heart, his character, his mercy, his love. To see this being under his mighty hand, not as a horrible, joy-killing kind of experience, but the one where he loves us enough to do what he's done to bring us out, to give us a hope and a future. Praise God. I haven't said anything new that you haven't heard before this morning, but do you see how the three characters in this little drama play out? There's the devil doing his thing, but before it, there's the humbling and there's the casting. And down below, we see God at work to fulfill an eternal purpose and us becoming stronger and stronger and stronger in him. And if we just humble ourselves to the process, God is going to do everything that's needed. My job is not to engineer it. It's not to gear up my will and somehow. It's to say, oh God. Think of what the Lord said to Peter when you were young. You dressed yourself. You went where you wanted to go. But when you're old, you'll stretch forth a hand, your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you don't want to go. There are a lot of things we would like to avoid in this life. But God's going to bring us through whatever he has purposed, whatever's written in his book. He's going to bring us through it, and it's going to be okay because he's going to be with us, and the end result is going to be beyond imagining. When we stand there and we'll look back, isn't it interesting that Peter says, after you have suffered a little while, doesn't that bring back the words of Paul? He talks about how temporary, how short this life is and how eternal that is. And where was Paul's focus? On what was eternal. And all these afflictions that were just for such a short time, he could see that they were pointing him to something that was eternal. That was what mattered. I pray that God will lift up our eyes to show us what our part is in this dynamic, to put our entire trust in him and to realize that whatever God has called us to stand up to and to do in this world, he will be with us. We do not have to be afraid. When the devil ministers fear, you can take that bundle and just pitch it to the Lord, and he will be glad to have it, because he's not worried. And he wants us to have that perfect rest and peace. And I'll tell you, the peace of God will, that passes understanding, will keep our hearts and minds, as Paul says in Philippians. So, praise God. Again, nothing new, but anybody need this morning? I do. I'll tell you, God is so wonderful, so faithful. This is one mighty hand I don't mind submitting myself to, because it's a hand that loves me. It's the hand of one who loves me with an immeasurable love and has my best interest at heart. Whatever it takes to get there, he knows and he is faithful. To him be the glory.